Coffee? Yes, go ahead.
Coffee doesn't do for me what it's supposed to.
It doesn't.
No, it doesn't. Doesn't wake me up or give me energy. The irony. In fact, if I drink too much,
yeah,
it will make me sleepy.
Wow.
I don't know why. And I'm not the only one. I've heard other people
sure
share that as well. But I drink it because I like it.
Okay.
Not because it gives me that morning
pick
boost.
Me up.
Yeah.
Okay.
That may change as I get older. I don't know. But
I hear you.
Right now. So, I actually drink half calf.
Okay.
And I considered switching to decaf completely because I don't care about the caffeine, except they don't make caffeine coffee as good. It's just not. Because the process.
Caffeine or decaffeinated coffee is good.
Decaf, excuse me.
Okay, okay. Yeah, no sweat. Yeah.
And the reason.
Yeah.
That I understand it to be, I haven't looked in the process that much, but is they basically suck all the juices out of the beans.
Sure.
Remove the caffeine somehow, some chemical process, and then try and shove the flavor back in. And, you know.
It just doesn't.
I don't think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't
if
work.
If you were to suck all the blood out of me, suck me dry, and then.
Put it back in, and it'd be a little different.
I think I'd probably be a little different. I don't think I'd taste the same.
Yeah. Welcome to How I See It with me, Mark Pratt, and
Justin Sternberg. This is a podcast that works to counter cultural polarization through thoughtful conversations.
No, I personally, of course, am not a coffee person.
Yeah.
I'm naturally caffeinated. I would refer to myself.
Naturally caffeinated. Yeah.
But I've heard that from others.
So you haven't had your blood sucked out and the
no,
caffeine
not in a caffeine, removed. Not in a caffeine sense, yes.
Right, so you are caffeinated.
I am caffeinated. I'm naturally caffeinated.
All right, fair enough.
But as far as that goes, as you were... thinking about that, what tends to come to mind when you think about not being fully energized or the ability to be energized?
Yeah. Well, you know, when I'm sleepy.
Yeah.
I think about when's the next moment today I'll be able to rest. Or maybe grab a cat nap or something like that. Is there an opportunity to catch up? Because you kind of have that longing feeling of needing rest, of needing to sleep or whatever. And that's a nice little segue, Mark, because today our goal is to talk a little bit about the value of rest, right?
Sure.
And what rest can look like. I don't know. Who knows where we'll go? We'll do what we do. We'll meander around the topic of rest,
And as I was thinking about, as we talked about, you know, rest, and I do, I think our desire is to address topics that tend to be polarizing. And I think in some ways, as I think about rest, that can be one of those things that tends to be a polarizing topic. Because you follow me? Because I think as we talk about rest and sleep or what rest is, I think and possibly even myself, this is why I'm talking about it, I guess, that might equate rest with laziness.
Right.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say in my industry, I guess, the tech world, there's a hustle culture. It's called the hustle culture.
Okay.
Not just tech, but like in creator world, like YouTubers. It's this idea that if you want to rise to the top, you got to hustle, you know, all day, all night. And in the tech world, it's, you know, it's like whoever works the hardest is going to, the meritocracy idea, right? Like whoever works hardest and proves their worth gets to the top.
Gotcha.
And then you think about America and just in general, how we're kind of like that. I think as opposed to a country like, what is it, Spain, siestas, that, mm-hmm. I guess it's maybe Mexico.
Mexico, yeah, yeah, yeah. I hear you.
But I think France, maybe.
Spain does too.
I recall there being a country where, mm-hmm. they're very relaxed about, like, lunchtime, for instance.
Sure. There's an actual shutdown of the day that everybody plans on in the middle of the day, and then that makes time for more partying at the end of the day.
Yeah.
But seriously, you're able to have that time, the siesta, to be able to rest.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So what are your personal thoughts on rest or even your ability to do it in contrast to the hustle?
Yeah. So I think for me, I probably tend towards hustle. It's probably, like, if you were to look at a scale of hustle versus rest.
Sure.
The scale probably tips towards hustle. Yeah. And to the point where it needs to be more balanced, right? The scale should be a little more balanced, because I will, and I think maybe this is slowly changing as I get older, just an understanding of, like, there's no reason or need to, like, continually prove myself. And I think it ties into other character traits of, like, needing approval or needing to prove my worth or whatever. And so it's always, you always have to be on, right? And I think as
you
do? No. Oh. But that's how it's how I feel. Yeah. Yeah. And I think that naturally as I get older, I naturally care less about what people think, less about proving my worth. I've established enough stuff behind me, right? Like, there's enough under my belt, so to speak, to say.
Credibility?
Yeah, credibility, yeah. Worth that I've gained. Self-worth, I guess.
Okay.
It's just like, and so the need to go is lessened, and I'm able to recognize the importance of rest. And also, family is a very important, like, dynamic to me right now. And to me, that often represents rest in a good way.
Sure.
And not always, of course, especially when the kids were younger and babies. And
yeah.
I think sometimes I would go to work just so I could get some rest.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah, but what are your thoughts?
Here again, it's interesting as you were sharing to think back and look back at how my views of rest have changed. And one of my early memories, I can remember being at my grandparents' house, you know, in the middle of the day, having lunch. And at that point, probably my grandfather would have been 70 years old, give or take. He, you know, lived to 99. And I can still remember, because my grandfather was noted in the area for his work ethic.
Mm-hmm.
He was noted, you know, as a hard man, you know, full German, you know, he would have been approximately 6 feet tall, give or take, but probably, you know, 170 pounds, just, you know, tall and lanky,
this was in Pennsylvania?
This is in Pennsylvania. Okay. Yeah.
It wasn't like, he wasn't Amish or anything like
that.
But kind of that similar work ethic idea.
Very similar work ethic, even more so. It was just, the work ethic that he had, and even my grandmother, she was his partner in the process, of course. And I would say, you know, my grandfather was probably more recognizable, but from my perspective, my grandmother worked equally hard, you know, on the farm. And I can still remember, you know, after lunch, my grandfather would lay on a daybed in their kitchen, and he would take like a 15-20 minute nap every day. And so when you were talking about rest, that's kind of what came to my mind. It's like, right up till my grandfather died, he was a farmer. I mean, he kind of had a heart issue, became pneumonia, and he passed away. Like,
wow.
You know, I happened to be in the hospital actually the day he passed away. Mm-hmm. He was there. He had, you know, kind of spoken over John, our son, you know, and he was gone. Mm-hmm. And yet, you know, probably 2 weeks before that, he had been milking cows right up till that time, you know? So as I was thinking about that, and it's like, as a kid sitting in his kitchen, wondering what I'm going to do for the next 15, 20 minutes while I have to be quiet so I don't wake up, you know, my grandfather or my grandmother. My grandmother went to the other room to nap. And so I thought about that in the context of how beneficial that rest may have been in that longevity process. Cause there's no doubt my grandparents were up early in the morning. You know, they weren't necessarily late to bed people, you know, but yet I just thought about that as you were sharing, from that context of early on, and how I currently look or value rest in that process, how that affects how I see it. Is there a benefit to that nap in the middle of the day where longevity is concerned? Is there, you know, the siesta? And yet in our American culture, it's like, no, burn the candle both ends all the time, fast as you can.
Yeah.
And the older I get, the more I say, no, I'm not sure that's the most beneficial way.
Right.
And I think, you know, because this, truth be told, you know, there's moments when I shift from the construction world to the therapy world where I know I've gotten up early to do the construction thing. And now I'm transitioning to my evening. I'll plan on getting to my office, you know, the church, at, you know, a half hour ahead of time. And I'll take a 15, 20 minute nap, you know, just so that I'm recharge to be able to kind of do therapy the rest of the day.
Yeah.
And so it's funny that I find myself valuing the nap, you know, again, just like to be able to get the rest.
Mm. Yeah. And it's funny how, it's not funny, it's almost a little sad that we're almost embarrassed to admit taking naps.
Oh, yeah. I guess in some ways I'm far less embarrassed.
Sure.
And I think in some ways, you know, I'll get ribbed, or, you know, it's like, you going back there to take a nap? It's like, yep, got 15 minutes. I, you know, set my little timer.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, then I'm ready to take on, you know.
It's fascinating because, again, our culture doesn't value that kind of rest, but sometimes that is the most productive thing we can do for the next 20 minutes.
True.
Right? Because it's essentially recharging your battery so that you can give the next things your full energy instead of your half-depleted battery, you know?
Yes.
And rest can come in so many forms.
Sure.
Right? So,
yeah.
So what we're talking about is kind of this daily renewal.
Yep.
Napping, right? And I think that's, there's a lot of value. It doesn't, of course, have to be daily, but just this idea that
when the opportunity comes, or I'm actually, and I think that part, as we're describing the napping, also kind of ties in with the ability to have margin in my day.
Yeah.
To the point that I'm not, my timeline or my Chronos day isn't just 15 minutes, you know, minute segments. It's like my digital watch. You know, I'm so mindful of what the time is, and I lose track of what's before and after sometimes. And I think, you know, if we're mindful of what's to come, we need to be mindful of, okay, the energy that I have to get there. Mm-hmm. But I think in the busyness, we can be so caught up. It's 10:10, it's 10:11, it's 10. And it's always this frantic, what I have to get done, before it gets to 10:30. I have 15 minutes to get this done. I have 10 minutes to get this done. And I think that's where I'm at, is this ability to we have to be mindful of what is necessary and create margin around it. And I think you bring up, when you bring up family, you know, I think that's an important part there. Because it's not just a nap, it's the ability to set time aside to recharge. And I think we can do that. We can do that in the sense of making time for vacation and so forth. But how often have we, you know, does the joke go around? It's like, I got to go back to work to rest up from vacation. You know, and I'm not, that's not a judgmental statement, but it's just an interesting perspective.
Sometimes we vacation like we work.
Yes.
Where it's like, we fill it up with an agenda and I will say some of my favorite vacations in the last few have been in the last few years, where we have gone to meet with my sister and her husband, who is my best friend. He was my best man when I got married, and I was his best man.
Oh wow!
They got married, yeah, so we go back way back, and then they have five daughters. And the last couple vacations, we booked a cabin in the mountains, and we basically said, especially the first time. The first time we did this, we said, I don't know about you, but we just need to recharge. Like, we don't want a big agenda. We like the idea of just sitting around, talking with you guys, watching the kids, lighting fires, you know, like, agenda-free, relaxed, maybe even teetering on boredom, and especially the kids. Like, let them be bored. You know, let them figure it out. Let them, you know.
Oh, nice.
And that was one of my favorite vacations I can remember.
Wow.
Because it was such a recharging, and man. And I think we took one trip out of that cabin to go to a hiking trail or whatever. And that was really fun, but it was, like you said, there was so much margin around it. It didn't ruin the vibe or whatever.
Yeah.
I would say it enhanced it, because when we got done, I was like, all right, now we can go back and relax again.
Yeah.
That was just really great. And I think there's so much... I mean, it's kind of obvious to say, but there's so much value in rest. And I guess what I was getting at earlier is that I think there's different kinds of rest, right? Like, there's kind of that daily renewal or semi-daily rest that can happen. And even nightly, right? We rest. And
sure.
Maybe some do it better than others. You know, get their... Yeah. But there's also periodic rest in terms of vacation. Mm-hmm. And then there's seasonal rest. And this is an interesting dynamic that I'm starting to learn and appreciate, because I've never been a fan of winter, you know, and this is something, you know, you and I have talked about in terms of seasonal depression is a thing for me. And so, like, I see the days getting shorter, I see the leaves falling, and it's just very true.